This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
This is Greg Olson, here to tell you about my new podcast, TE1. On the show, I had a chance to talk to my fellow tight ends who have revolutionized the position from an extra lineman to a dual threat superstar. And just like my guests have changed the game, this year, NFLSundayTicket.tv is revolutionizing your NFL viewing experience. Stream all the live out-of-market NFL games every Sunday on your favorite devices and never miss a moment from your favorite players. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use the promo code GREG88 at checkout and get 15% off your subscription. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv and the promo code GREG88. Subscribe to TE1 and get NFLSundayTicket.tv, an unmatched dual threat.
Hail Cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League Podcast. My name is Josh Landon. Oh, full name this time. My name is Josh Landon. I'm here with Brandon Kelly. Brandon Kelly, how are you?
Josh Landon, I'm fantastic. And quickly, let's just remind everyone and the new listeners, we're not just the Always Cheating Podcast. We're the award-winning Always Cheating Podcast, recipients of that Football Contents Award for winner of the best fantasy football creator. No one can take that away from us, Joshua. No one can. True. Once a president, always a president.
That's true. I think we did it. We did an entire podcast where we like thanked ourselves for winning that award. So I think we've shied away from it the last, several months. But I think it's nice to throw it out there just once. And then we'll only bring it up every couple days on various social media platforms and on, Instagram. And that's it. Yeah.
And I love that we started with mentioning that we're an award-winning podcast because the FPL website relaunched today for the new season. And immediately we're texting back and forth. We had to do a pod where we have to pump up everyone for the launch of the new game. I immediately thought of Carly Simon. And if I say Carly Simon, Josh, what's the first song that you think of?
I don't know. You're So Vain?
Exactly. And we are here to say that the FPL game has launched for me, for Josh, and for you, the listener, because we're so vain, and this entire episode is going to be under the assumption that fantasy has launched just for us. So get ready. We're here to just crank up the volume on FPL to get everyone very excited about the new season.
Yeah, we're like those guys. Anyone who's ever seen like a live comedy show or if you've gone to like a taping, of like the Stephen Colbert show or something like that, there's always somebody who pops in and just like gets everybody humble, excited. Right? Yeah, that's right. I used to work in book publishing. So that was like, that's like a little perk. You used to get to go to that kind of thing. So there was always like somebody would pop in early on and they would like, they would tell a few jokes. They would tell you when to clap. They would like tell you that you are supposed to be excited right now. So Brandon, I am talking to you via the internet. And I am telling you, you need to be excited because there's a lot of, you know, our post office is being taken away, Brandon. Okay. There's a lot of bad things happening right now, but the fantasy game is back. It is something that is fun and exciting. And I am super pumped about the game actually coming back. And it's only, what, like 3.5 weeks away now. It's coming very soon.
Okay, so I think the greatest way for us to kick off this conversation, and there's a lot of meat and potatoes on our plate right now. Mm-hmm. We have a ton to get to. But what everyone's dying to know is, what is your team ID? Because, okay, so I think what's most offensive to me about the British way of launching this FPL game is they could just build this up basically like the Phantom Menace opening in theaters. We're counting down the days, the hours, the minutes, and everyone is hungry to be the first to log into the site and get that very early team ID. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's like whenever you register your fantasy team, it's sequential. So if you're the first person to register on the site for the new season, your team ID is number one. How cool is that? Like, you won't be ranked number one at the end of the season, but at least you'll have the team ID of one. So a lot of us fantasy nerds, we judge our teams based on our team ID. How quickly did you jump into the game? And Josh, you and I both woke up Eastern Standard Time here in the great city of New York. Mm-hmm. COVID-19 cases under 1% reported every day. We're really doing our part here. And what is our reward? We wake up to realize that the game launched on the early side. Before we woke up.
It was like a real like record scratch moment. I woke up with my daughter this morning and I was just kind of messing around. Like I actually thought I might try to fall asleep on the couch again. Like, she was just like happily playing at the table in the living room. And I was like, let me just check my phone real quick. And I pop in and I was like, oh my God, this just happened. Oh my God, they launched it. And I just, I didn't think a Saturday would be the day to do it. You know, like, I thought it would be, I don't think I've ever launched on a Saturday before, but obviously it's an unusual circumstance. You know, these are not normal times. So maybe they just thought, we got to get this thing out here.
We are living in an it is what it is moment in time, Josh.
Yeah. So anyway, anyone who doesn't know how to check their game ID, you just you log in and you go to my team, and then on the right you see like your name and the flag for the country you're from, and there's a little view game week history down there, and if you click on that, then you look up in the URL and it tells you what your team number is. So I got 22,405, which I think is like. I wanted to be in that top 10K, but 22,405, it's not bad. What is your ID, Brandon?
I definitely have like a second string team ID. I have a bench riding team ID. It is it's six digits. I'll just preface it by saying that it's six digits. 125,015. And so basically it's a new phone number that I have to memorize now, because the utility of your team ID, right, is you go to these sites like Fantasy Premier Tools or livefpl.net, and you can check your live game week score as the game week is going on, and you need your team ID to do that. And so now the game for everyone is to come up with some sort of mnemonic device to remember your team ID. So I'm like, 125,015. I think that's pretty easy to remember.
That's not bad. The double five is not bad. Lots of ones. 22,405. That doesn't seem so bad either. That 405 is pretty easy. And last year for me, it was like 11,496. And it was just like impossible to keep that in my head. Like 11,496.
I was 11,927. At some point, there's like come like game week 30, I have better recall of my team ID than I do my social security number. So, you'll figure it out as the season goes.
All right. So the game is launched. Today's theme, by the way, is we're answering 10 big questions after the FPL launch. Right. So it's a little different this year. And again, they clearly just wanted to get the game out there and get people able to start their leagues and recruit their friends and all that stuff as soon as possible, because we don't actually have fixtures yet. And so it's borderline impossible to actually pick a team right now without fixtures, because you're just picking players you like, basically. You're just 15 players I enjoy. And I mean, you have the prices.
It's a lookbook. So that is
That is, it is a lookbook. You're like, what would look good together? You know, do I go with color? Do I go with?
It's a fantasy Pinterest board at this point, basically.
It is. Yes. I made a little, an early team, which maybe I'll talk about in a second here. So that's the theme. We're answering 10 big questions. Some of them are kind of big picture. Some of them are about value. We did a price prediction podcast a few days ago, and I actually think we were pretty close on most of it. You can find we shared that for everybody to see on social media. But if you want to take a look, it is useful, I think, to look at this stuff because did players basically, like, it's just a good way to assess value. You know, like if you and I both were consensus like a million high on a player, you know, like in the case of someone like KDB, I was a whole million high in terms of what I thought he'd come in at. Trent Alexander-Arnold, you and I were both 0.5 million high.
Yeah, or Ziyech on Chelsea, who is the new boy. So, you know, we've got to see him play first, but we both, you know, given the scouting reports, expected him to be more expensive than 8.0.
Yeah, and we were low on a couple people as well, so it's worth going through that and just taking a look. And so maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But the game is here. It's time to start thinking about what your team might look like, and maybe in some ways, actually not having the fixtures there is it's kind of useful. You know, it's like when you're watching poker on TV and you actually don't know what the players' hole cards are. You know, and you're like, how would he play this? You know, like how would this? It's like watching poker in like 1997, Brandon. You know, you're like, how is this?
That sounds like riveting television, Josh.
That's why it didn't really get popular until the whole can came out. But it sort of it makes you think big picture. Like, what am I looking for in my team? What kind of formation do I want? You know, who are the players who need to be my team no matter who they're playing? And you know, now that Man City are out, it's and we're recording this before Man United's match tomorrow, but. With Man City out there, it looks like they can now play in game week one. They may not play until Tuesday or Wednesday, but they can now play in that match because there's a 30-day mandated time between your final match of the 1920 season and your first match of the 2021 season. So because they've lost today, they are basically out. I feel like if we start talking about that match, though, Brandon, we're going to be like going on way too long. So what did you like? Do you have any just like early thoughts on player prices?
I mean, I don't want to kick things off with negative thoughts, but my initial reaction to
but you will,
It's the ultimate, like, my wife always gets on me when I say not to interrupt you, but. And she's like, well, you're interrupting me. So are you apologetic? Are you like, do you want to correct this behavior that you have?
Yeah.
I guess I will cop to starting with a negative attitude. But looking at the price announcements, I just feel like there wasn't a lot of thought put into the pricing in the game before they launched it. I don't see a lot of creative pricing here. Yeah. My hot take is. We've said this a number of times. We have had the pleasure of working with the Fantasy Premier League team on occasion, and they put a great free game together. But that said,
our close personal friends,
But listen, I'm a Fulham supporter, and I fire up the Fulham prices, and I see Kevin McDonald, a guy who has made nothing but cameos for the last two seasons, including their abysmal campaign in the Premier League in 2018-19. And he's priced at 5.0. And I'm just like, this is a recycled price tag. Absolutely recycled. And
I know most people, the internet was aflame with the Kevin McDonald's $5 million price tag.
Where were you when you heard about Kevin McDonald's price tag? We kind of have the thing. So we're here to basically big up the launch of the game because that's why we're here all the time. Because
we're not paid by the game. You can have whatever.
There's no
financial relationship, you know.
What I'm trying to say is we only have half of the party, right? Like the prices and the players is one half. The other missing part right now is the fixtures. So when we get the fixtures, it becomes an entirely different conversation about the players and the price tags, because that's when we really start building our team. I mean, I'm looking at the squad that you initially put together, your FPL lookbook. And that's fun, but it kind of doesn't mean a whole lot because the fixtures really do dictate so much of our initial game week one, opening game week strategies. So it was really interesting and somewhat mystifying to see some of the price tags. And then it's kind of like a, where do we go from here? I think this is the first time that the game has launched since we started playing, or even at least podcasting. This is, we're entering our sixth season of the Always Cheating Pod, mm-hmm. where we've launched the game with no fixtures. So we're in uncharted territory here in terms of sizing up the launch of a new FPL season.
Wow. All right. Well, you've laid down the gauntlet. Can we still make an interesting pod with Brandon?
Good luck. I'm just going to tap out here for a moment. The next hour is all yours, yeah. Josh.
Well, as I said, I think that there are some big questions. I mean, you know, I think that even just big things like, you know, like what kind of structure do you think you're going for? I think these are things that I know I've been thinking about it all day, Brandon. I'm a big enough nerd that I've been thinking about structure and the kind of players that I want, and that stuff is a little bit irrespective of the fixtures, you know. So I think that in a big picture way, there's a lot to think about right now, and maybe without the fixtures, you're not quite so focused on game week one, game week two, game week three matches. So, you know, the fixtures come out, okay, yeah, maybe X team, you know, let's say Leeds or whatever, have like just terrible, terrible fixtures to start. You know, so you're just not going to consider them at all. But maybe now, because you've thought about them before the fixtures are out, it sort of like at least plants in your mind like those Leeds players, you know, for your first wild card or something like that, you know. So I think there's some value through that lens.
All right, Josh. So yeah, let's get into these 10 big questions after the FPL launch in a moment. Some quick housekeeping for our listeners out there. Patreon. We have a Patreon page at Always Cheating, and this is a great way for our listeners to thank me and Josh for what we do week to week with the Always Cheating Pod. And it's also a great way for you to get added FPL content from bonus podcasts each week, continued strategy discussion on our private Slack channels, extra mini leagues and prizes and whatnot. And we'll kick things off with thank yous for our new Patreon subscribers just in the last week. A big up to new producers, Chris Carter and Francis Mann. And at the Lord Sorloth tier, and Josh, we can talk about Lord Sorloth maybe going to Bundesliga.
Replacing Timo Werner, like that's a sad day.
That is how good that Sorloth is and how much Crystal Palace is missing out on.
Wouldn't want to be a Palace fan right now. That's tough. Yeah.
Right. So, but at we will not lose the moniker at our Patreon level, the Lord Sorloth tier. And we do thank new Lord Sorloth patrons, Phil LaTank, Erson, ZT or ZT, depending on where you're from, Oyvind Peterson, Ryan Riggs, Simon Hicks, and Gavin Doyle. And thanks for the huge merch layout, Gavin. You look beautiful in your Always Cheating gear. And if you want to say thanks and support the cheaters, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/always cheating. Josh, talk about what's new with our Patreon this season.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to go, I always say this and then we go on too long in the section, but yeah, we have our first ever cup competition, Brandon, and you and I spent, I would say, a good 2 hours working this cup competition out over our season preview meetup a few days ago. So yeah, we have a cup competition that we are launching in game week one. It's kind of like a qualifier, Brandon. So we've got a qualifier. It's gonna be double elimination. It's gonna be wild. Double elimination for the people who lose in the first round, Brandon. This thing is gonna be complicated, but it's gonna be awesome. Yeah. And it's gonna be open to patrons at any pledge level. We also have the upcoming Make Fantasy Fun Again T-shirt that Brandon. I know who you are. You like to really get a concept nailed before you.
I do like to tinker.
Right?
Yeah. There is no. I don't like to do the thing where you share the trailer for your upcoming movie and then everyone absolutely roasts it on YouTube, and then you have to just go back and do a bunch of reshoots. No, when we launch this Make Fantasy Fun Again T-shirt for our patrons, it's going to be chef's kiss, guaranteed.
And then just last but not least, just a couple of shout outs. First one is to Sean Comiskey. He started a fantasy game for the Championship League, and I checked it out. Sean Comiskey is a very long time Patreon supporter, and it's gaffer.io is where you can go. So if you're a big Championship supporter, if you have a club that you support in that league, this could be perfect for you. So go and check that out. And then the Fantasy Football Hub, Brandon, they are giving us a 25% off promotion for anybody who uses our link, fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always. They get 25% off whatever tier they choose.
That's awesome.
It's a great site. They just actually rolled out a new app, and there's a great promo video that we shared earlier that was created by Brett, who's part of FPL TV, a very nice guy, and a manager who is similarly in FPL misery all the time. So I really enjoy that.
Right.
But you can access it's the greatest fantasy minds managing today. They're sharing their strategy and their teams through thoughtful articles and videos. These are basically like some of the absolute best fantasy players over, you know, more than a decade. You get access to all data, real Opta stats, easy to use player comparison tools, game week planning tools, including custom spreadsheets masterminded by the legendary Ben Krellen, even though I disagree with him on Wolves. He thinks they're boring, which I think is an insane take.
Okay, Ben, you're on notice, buddy.
You get access to chat with other managers, including private WhatsApp groups. So check out that and check out all of that. And you get 25% off whatever tier you choose at fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always. Let's take a break, get back, answer the 10 big questions after the FPL launch. Okay, we're back. 10 big questions after the FPL launch. Let's just jump right into the first question. Luke says, how are you thinking of structuring your team at the start of the season? So, Brandon, the big news here is that they've decided that every player in the Premier League is a midfielder now. That is sort of the biggest change.
At least on United, right?
I mean, if Aubameyang, it's so fluid now, you know. Our friend Andrew was saying that he kind of wishes they would just have like a fourth level now that was just for wingers, you know, like midfielders, wingers, forwards, because what are you going to do? I mean, if Salah and Mane are midfielders, then I guess Greenwood and, you know, and Rashford and Aubameyang all have to be midfielders.
I can't do it,
as well.
Josh. I just think the reclassification of Aubameyang as a midfielder is wrong. It's wrong. And the Mason Greenwood, we talked in our price prediction pod about how absolutely bananas it would be if United mm-hmm. had three viable forward options in Martial, Rashford, and Greenwood. And they solved that problem by moving Greenwood into the midfield, moving Martial into the forward spot. Is Rashford a midfielder?
Yes.
Yeah, Rashford. Okay. I mean, we're splitting hairs perhaps here, but I just think they went a bit too rogue with these position repositions, whereas they should have been a little more creative with the pricing. And Aubameyang will be the poster child for this all season. Aubameyang plays on the wing, sure, but he's farthest forward. He's often the one crashing into the box. He's taking the pens. He's the striker of that team. And I just think it's truly bananas that he's a midfielder, and I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. I mean, he's almost like the definition of I shouldn't say the definition of striker, because he is playing behind a striker, you know, whether that is Lacazette or Eddie Nketiah, you know, but the question is whether being, you know, being sort of the second striker or playing behind the striker means you are no longer a forward. And that to me, I think I don't want to get too negative here. Like, whatever, it's fine. Like, in some ways I actually think it's appealing that Aubameyang's a midfielder. It opens up some possibilities, but it just seems like, yeah, like if you were introducing the game to somebody and you were like, oh, yeah, you know, Aubameyang, you know, one of the great midfielders in fantasy of, you know,
sure,
Aubameyang.
Yeah. Pirlo, Aubameyang.
Yeah, it's like Marcus Rashford, you know, the great midfielder Marcus Rashford. You know?
So I think that's right, because there are two sides of FPL that we sing praises for. And one side is FPL is fantastic because it embraces a simplified fantasy game and it doesn't try to overcomplicate things.
Yes.
You know, and that's mostly down to how the points are structured. And that's okay. And you sort of like learn to work within that. But then there is this point where the fantasy game is trying to be simple, layered on top of a real life football culture, which is anything but, right? And I think particularly the game going into the 2020 season, these positions don't really mean they're not that rigid in these clubs, particularly these elite clubs. And they're just not rigid like defense, midfielder, forward. It doesn't work like that. So it's going to take some it's just going to take some willing suspension of disbelief on our part to say, okay, Obbs is now a midfielder. We'll move on.
I think what makes it interesting is that it really does. And to get back to this question about structure, I just honestly can't. I think that a 4-4-2 is just so logical now, and it's going to break up the 3-4-3 tyranny, right? Like we have every season there's this, and in fact, there's a question about this, we're going to get to in a minute, but every season it's like, are we going to go big at the back this year? Is this the year that, we go five across the middle? And you tend to default to 3-4-3 ultimately because you want the players who score goals, right? Yeah, and right. So when you've taken all of the goal scorers, the players who truly are forwards in any sense except the fantasy game, and move them into the midfield, you have now taken all the goals and moved them into the midfield. So it really doesn't seem logical, I think, to have three forwards any longer. I mean, just looking at the teams right now, there's always a rationale for having forwards. This idea that the forward, the position is just dead is silly, obviously, because right now you could have a front line with Vardy, Martial, and Ings, right? Or, Werner, Martial, and Ings, and or Jimenez, right? Like there are, Harry Kane, like there are certainly a number of, Jesus and Aguero, there are a number of great forwards, but I to be loaded up in that position would mean that you wouldn't be able to have all of these players who are now classified as midfielders. And so I think when you're weighing which one which sort of category you want to put your money into, it just makes much more sense to put it in the midfield, also because it makes it easier to move that money around, right? If you want to move from if you want to have Aubameyang for a game week and then move that over to Salah or whatever, it's a lot easier than if you have to move money from your forward line to midfield. It requires two transfers, right? So I don't know. Yeah, what do you think?
I'm with you. I think the 3-5-2 is going to be the in fashion formation going into game week one. There's no question about it. And it was always going to be that way coming out of the last season, where so many points were coming out of the midfield from Sterling to De Bruyne to Liverpool. And you look at all the options that Chelsea was producing, and anybody that was really producing up front, apart from Aubameyang at the end of last season, which that problem is solved, just move him in the midfield. You have players like Jimenez and Ings who comparatively are reasonably priced. So I do believe the structure going into game week one is going to be 3-5-2, if not a 4-5-1. And Timo Werner is, I think, going to be like the premium striker. And at 9.5, like that's a bargain right there. So I think it's going to be, it might turn into like a great sort of vanity position for our fantasy teams. Like you get to use your striker slot just to identify who you are as a fantasy manager or who you are as a football fan. And it might not be very consequential at all. I think the way we're going, and I guess the reason I would make that argument is the likelihood of any of us captaining a striker in this season seems less and less and less likely. The armband is just going to ride around the midfielders for the entire season. So which makes the strikers even less popular. We were talking about the days of yore with Joe at the Scout and on a great interview that we're going to be releasing in a couple of weeks. And he was talking about, remember those days where it was Robin Van Persie and Luis Suarez, where we all had him and those guys, we captained them every week. And that was just the way it was. They were always strikers, and we're so well beyond that point at this time. So midfielders, get ready. That's virtually everything we're going to talk about for this entire season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like record scratch cut to 4 weeks later, right? And yeah, there's some, right. You know, Patrick Bamford scored 7 goals in 3, you know, and we're all rejiggering our teams to have 3 forwards again. So, you know, the arc of fantasy seems to point towards having at least 2 forwards, if not 3. So we'll see. I mean, the team that I mocked up today just for fun is a 4-4-2. I mean, but, you know, it's... I mean, who knows, right? I mean, I've got Vernon there right now, but I have no Man United players. Like, I am now a convert. You know, I am now an Anthony Martial convert. It's finally happened, you know? So if they lose tomorrow and they are eligible to play in game week 1, then I think there's a decent chance Vernon gets sacrificed for Martial. You know, it's like, I mean, we'll see. Or I find a way to have 2 big forwards up front and Werner and Marcel.
Well, there's no way you're getting rid of Mitrovic looking at your team right now. He's nailed on, right?
Well, I mean, we'll get to him in just a second here, but yeah, in fact, let's go right to it. I'm going to move some things around here, Brandon. This is just for you.
Live okay? on the air. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is going to happen live on the air. So Joaquim says, who, Brandon, will be this season's Sheffield? And then Rob W. sort of in line with that says, is Mitrovic going to be this year's Ings or this year's Pookie? All right. So let's take the second question first. Is he going to be the Pookie? I don't know why I said Pookie quite like that. Is he going to be the Pookie or Ings of this year? No, Pookie was good for a while. Now, let's not talk about him like he was a disaster. You know, he had his moments.
Yeah. Yeah. He certainly did. Mitrovic, I had predicted that he could come into the game as high as 7.0. In fact, I know, I'll own up to it, Josh. I predicted 7.0 for the man.
It's and
I
thought on the tape. Yeah.
Because of his Premier League pedigree, such as it was, the fact that he basically played and a golden boot winning season coming out of the championship, 6.0 for the Serbian, I think, is probably one of the bigger deals going into game week 1. I mean, it certainly remains to be seen. Like, this is sight unseen. How are Fulham going to look in the Premier League? Because Fulham have to really look back at the 2018 season and figure out what went wrong. And largely it was because they were stubborn in their ways and they tried to continue with their attacking play on the floor sort of style. And they were awful. They were absolutely awful. So I do think the problem with Mitrovic going into game week 1 is the likelihood of Scott Parker trying to be a little more prudent, a little more conservative is very likely. And Mitrovic will be starved for service unless they sign people. Fulham have been linked to Ryan Fraser, which I think might be interesting. So it's kind of like you look for the signings for teams like Fulham who can help unlock Mitrovic. As it is right now, as the Fulham squad is constituted, I really worry about where Mitrovic's service is going to come from. And 6.0 might actually be an accurate price tag there.
I got called out last night on Twitter for being too negative about Arsenal. And you're the same way about Fulham. I don't know if this is like, I feel like this is very British of us, but people do call us out about it. We are both so negative about the clubs that we support. You know, it's like, you talk to me about Fulham and just like, Ozil, overpriced. Can't believe he's still on the team. It's hard for me to like be, you know, like, I don't know, like the sun is shining, you know, and I feel like when you talk about Fulham, it's kind of the same way. I mean, I know you were excited when they got promoted, but it's, I actually think they have the Sheffield, I mean, yeah, looked at it literally. I mean, they don't have a lot of defensive potential, but, looked at it from a, like, are there cheap fantasy options? I mean, everybody's super cheap on that team, right? I mean, Anthony Knockard is, Knockard, excuse me. 5.5. I mean, he didn't really prove himself at Brighton, but I think he could be interesting. What
didn't
do you think
really
about
prove himself
this
at Fulham either?
Cabano. What? Any thoughts on Cabano? Are you?
Yeah, I think Cabano is definitely the one to watch on Fulham because at 5.0, that's a decent price tag at somebody who. So you're looking for the role players in these teams, and everyone will remember Joe Bryan for his heroics in the playoff final. He took that free kick, which was from a long way out, and it was a miracle that it went in. But any free kick closer to the goal will be taken by Cabano if Cabano is in the pitch, because Cabano is scoring free kicks for fun heading into that playoff final. He's the free kick whiz on that team. And FPL, the FPL community made it happen. Everyone was watching that playoff final. Joe Bryan scores a brace at the end of the game. They're like, oh boy, look out. FPL Towers are going to overprice this dude. And for no reason other than that playoff final, he comes in at 5.0, which is ludicrous.
So no one said before.
No one's ever going to have this guy.
You've said before to me, just off pod, that you think Hector is the one who really makes that defense at least worth, like, at least not like running screaming from the way they were a couple years ago.
Yeah. If you think of the 2018 Fulham squad, they were a disaster class in the back, and it was mostly because they were trying to bed in all new defenders. And then there was Tim Ream. And Tim Ream, ask any Fulham fan, he is like he was the player of the season during their 2017 season. Everyone loves him, but he needs a stable force next to him. And Hector has provided that. And I mean, forgive the analogy, but I do think Hector has a resemblance to Virgil van Dijk in that he loves stepping in for a challenge. He has that stature, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he will actually make Tim Ream much better in the Premier League this season. And then behind them, Rodak. Okay, so Hector, I think Hector is a great player, but the points that you'll get from the Fulham defense will actually be amplified for their goalkeeper. And like, if you're looking for a new Lucas Fabianski, I think Rodak at 4.5 is the budget goalkeeper, perhaps to keep your eye on, because Fulham are going to get lit up. And if like what we're talking about with an improved Fulham defense, they're at least able to make the shots more difficult, Rodak might be able to make some easy saves, and you could see a lot of 3 and 4 pointers from this guy.
All right. Well, you know me, Brandon. I like my beer cold and my fantasy goalkeepers Eastern European. So this could be a real, real option for me.
Here's a fun twist there. Yeah. Lucas Fabianski. What is his middle name? His middle name is Merrick. His middle name is Merrick.
Oh, and wow. Well, there you go. Wow.
What is Rodak's first name?
Fabianski.
Merrick. It's all there. It's like a national treasure like riddle right there for you to unpack.
It's amazing. Yeah, I need to reread the Da Vinci Code. All right. So I do think that Mitro at 6 million is really incredible value. I just love, I mean, double digit goal scorer in the Premier League, golden boot winner. I don't want to repeat everything you just said, but like, I think he's really interesting at 6 million.
He's a genuinely good penalty taker as well, and he'll be on those. Yeah. So that's another added bonus there.
Yeah. So he's one, we'll talk more about that when in upcoming weeks, but I think that he's interesting. So there's your potted Fulham preview. I think that's good enough to, to move on to the next question.
The likelihood of Fulham being this season Sheffield United is basically nil, though. But I think it's like, I love the question from Joachim, and I would love if we were able to predict it, but wasn't the beauty of Sheffield United is no one saw that one coming? And
That is true. And I think that Leeds has a lot of there's a lot of interesting players in there. I don't want to go down the Leeds road yet, because I think that there's a lot to talk about with that team. And I think they're kind of exciting. I think Pablo Hernandez in particular, I think is a really interesting player, and someone we'll have to give a lot of thought to. He's only 6 million, and he's like, I think he's like 36 years old or something like that. He is, he's like, but he was awesome. He was incredible. He was incredible in the championship last season. So, wow. That sounds like a 5-alarm fire, Brandon.
They found out that Pablo Hernandez was underpriced in the game, and they're coming to put that fire out.
That was like Christian Pulisic. That was the craziest thing. Did you see that? The American FPL site launched Pulisic's price at 8 million. We shared that out, and we said we thought this guy was a dyed-in-the-wool, like absolutely no doubter, 8.5 million player. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Can't believe he came at 8 million. The fantasy game hurt us, Brandon. They believed what we said, and they came back and they changed his price from 8 million to 8.5. It was incredible. It was the always cheating bump. I wanted a reverse bump. I didn't know we had the power to go up in price.
We'd love to take him to 7.5 if we had it to do all over again. Yeah.
We did over again. So 8.5 million is the Pulisic price, and you have us to thank for that. So I'm sorry,
you're
everybody.
Welcome.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next question. FPL Prince says you can only pick 3 heavy hitters. Who do you go for?
Kevin De Bruyne, he was the one to actually score a goal for City against their, you know, dire Lyon performance. And him adding penalties to his quiver is just, it's fantasy catnip. It's great. So it's Kevin De Bruyne. Bruno Fernandes, I think we were all fearful that he would come in at 11 or higher and that he was, as we predicted, coming in at 10.5. I think he's got to be nailed into a lot of our squads. Now, you talk about that's 12 million for De Bruyne. That's 10.5 for Bruno. That's basically your allotment of premiums in your midfield. So then I think the other premium is Timo Werner up front, unless we are counting Trent Alexander-Arnold in the defense. So I guess if you'll allow me, Josh, I'm going to take four premiums. I think it's Trent, De Bruyne, Bruno, and Timo Werner, game, set, match.
Okay, yeah, that is cheating because that is four, but I will allow it. I think that one thing I said on a pod late last season was that the story of the season for me was that I was not respecting the kind of blue chip stock nature of De Bruyne, Salah, and Mane, and that I was constantly taking them in and out and moving them around, and in the end they finished as the top three overall points getters. And and I just feel like I like got ahead of my skis a little bit in terms of like trying to like play the game where I was like, okay, I'm going to have Salah this week and then I'm going to shift to Mane. And I in some ways that is like the, you know, when executed correctly, that is basically the kind of upside chasing approach that I think is going to be really popular this season with so many midfielders. But on the other hand, when I'm just thinking about, you know, the first three players in my team, those first three players were Mane, Salah, and De Bruyne. And it's a massive outlay, but if you just decide like philosophically that I'm going to have those three players, and then the rest of the team has to work around that, I think that might be the approach, because I just want the three players that I like the most, that I think are the best fantasy assets. Yeah. You know, Salah, Mane, no Champions League commitments in August. They're going to come out fresh. They're going to start every match to start the season. Super dangerous, both captainable. And De Bruyne now will start every match as well. I mean, he's certainly the most important player to that team. He's the one player who really can't be rotated. I mean, he will get rotated occasionally, like all Man City players, but he is about as essential as any player gets in that team.
De Bruyne is, I mistakenly said he was 12.0, but he is actually 11.5, which underscores more the, I think what we're saying here, Josh, and that De Bruyne is, it's crazy. A player as expensive as 11.5 is like, wow, that's a steal for De Bruyne. And I think it is, he will be competing against Raheem Sterling, of course. And if Raheem starts scoring hat tricks, then we'll have real decisions. And I'm not ready to reckon with the Liverpool question just yet, because I think coming out of the 2019-20 season, the taste that's left in your mouth is Liverpool very much on the beach, having clinched the title very early on. And it was City and it was Manchester United who looked the best for FPL returns. And I think I'm going to have to really recalibrate now.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And you know, I mean, you don't know if that's going to carry over or not. I mean, it's interestingly, I think we are now 2 weeks away. The Charity Shield is 2 weeks from tomorrow, which is kind of crazy because there is an international break the week before the Premier League season starts. Isn't that not cool? The strangest
that's so cool.
thing?
That's great.
Yeah, it's very unusual. And so I guess
everything's
Americans
great,
can't,
Josh.
We can't play in that, right? Because we're not allowed to travel in any other countries right now. But other people will be able to play in that. I don't really know why you'd want people traveling all over the world right before you started your domestic seasons. That seems needlessly risky. But that is what's
giving
happening.
The thumbs up sign to my microphone right now, Josh.
So that is that's what will be happening. So we will get to see Liverpool and actually a pretty fun game, Liverpool Arsenal, and it'll be a great. I don't know, like, what's the word, palate cleanser, right? It'll be sort of like
an amuse-bouche.
In some ways, it's kind of perfect because usually what happens is the Charity Shield is usually a week before the season starts, and you basically get really excited about Hopper plays well in that, right? So yeah. It's like, you know, famously a couple years ago it was what's his name, you know, plays for Everton, he was an Arsenal player at the time,
Theo Walcott.
No, the other one, the other, he says,
Iwobi, Alex Iwobi. Iwobi,
right. So Iwobi plays well on that, and suddenly everyone wants Iwobi in their team, and then Iwobi
didn't go
start
very well.
Yeah, but he managed. So, this is, you know, so anyway, I think, we'll see what happens, but I like that this will happen, but it'll happen with enough space that we won't get, it won't mess with our thinking too much. All right, next question. Keith James says, there's much discussion about midfielders offering the best premium value this season. What are your thoughts? So, I mean, we've been talking about this a little bit already, but I'm actually going to take the next two together because I think they make sense as a pair. So FPL Pup, Brandon, it's a new one to me. FPL Pup. Says, does the number of expensive mids make the season one where we should switch between them frequently? So, yeah, what do you think about that? What do you think about this kind of, I mean, again, I mentioned it before, but this if there has been a philosophical, like, and I shouldn't say philosophical, but like a strategy that has emerged over the last season or so, it's this idea of upside chasing, which is basically, late riser Pernille Seth has really popularized. He had a great season. I think he finished in the top 40 overall. And you know, basically the idea is that you aren't married to any player and that you are sort of constantly, you know, looking for giant returns. So someone like Aubameyang, who tends to fade in big matches, much as I love Aubameyang, tends to not form at his best in big matches, but tends to be explosively dangerous in a match against a relegated team, is a player that you would, like, you're just not as focused on team value and that you're sort of worried about just maximizing massive returns, not getting married to any one player. So what do you think about that? That isn't necessarily an approach that you would typically take, I feel like, as a fantasy manager.
I do think it's a high risk, high reward sort of a strategy. And I mean, it was the greatest takeaway from Always Cheating season 5 last season, Josh, when you compared being an FPL manager to being in the movie Ford versus Ferrari, where you have to be, if you want to break the land speed record, you have to be willing to let your car explode and you could perish in the process. And that's just the price that you have to be willing to pay to achieve that thing. And I think thinking about this midfield discussion and the premium discussion, there are two distinct strategies that I think. The upside chasing is a very abstract strategy. That is a strategy based on gut feeling and you trying to predict what happens. But I think more basically for FPL managers, you could play one of two ways. You can say, I can guarantee you that Mane and Salah, De Bruyne, Sterling, they will all break 200 points from game week 1 to game week 38. So I will take them and I will place them on my team and they will be immovable assets because there will be very bad weeks, but there will be very good weeks and it will all, at the end of the season, bear fruit. The other way, and if you play that way, there is a good chance of you know, kind of cruising to the top 250K, the top 100K. But if your sights are set on the top 10K, the only way to do it is to do the, I have to move those premium assets week to week to find the precise right formula for every game week. And for you to be able to do that, that's just a lot of nerve that you have to have and a lot of, I don't really want to use the word luck. I really don't. I think if you play that way, then a lot of your strategy is built on your marginal players too, to bolster those moves that you're making. But I think you see what I'm saying. It's like either you stick with the premium assets for the full season or you commit to this idea of I'm going to chop and change. And that's really the only way to go for broke. And I don't know, do I have it in me? I mean, there have been points in time. You would often point to the couple of game weeks, Josh, where I was able to do that with Lukaku and Ibrahimovic when there was Everton and Manchester United striker rotation. And I was
the
able
fact
to
that
be...
we have to go back to when Ibra was in the league.
Yeah, right. Tells you. Yeah. It's not great. It's not great. Yeah. But it's a very hard thing for some stubborn conservative managers to
do. Yeah.
So, you know, well, I don't know that I could recommend it for everybody.
This is the thing about this analogy from, like, you know, 8 months ago or whatever it was when we talked about this podcast, but you know, in Ford versus Ferrari, you know, they build this car, you know, the Ford company, they build this car and, you know, it can get to 7,000 RPM. Right. But you know, so like basically like they you know, there's a way that they can actually, they build a car that might be able to actually win, you know, Le Mans, but to do it, there's a chance that if you hit that target, your car is going to blow up. It might explode. And, you know,
and kill you in the process.
And can possibly kill you in the process, or, you know, kill your team in this case, yeah, right?
Right.
And so a lot of people talk about being bold, and they ultimately don't have it in them to possibly blow up their team, right? And so, so you end up kind of doing these half measures where you sort of, or you get like a little tricky, you know, and like, or like, or you just like, it's like you almost just, you don't, you end up not playing your own game really. And you end up kind of hurting yourself in the process, and you'd be better off just sticking with a philosophy that works for you. Because I do think that, and this is like big picture, like fantasy management, it's probably just true people in life in general, but like you sort of, people default to their personality. It is very hard to change your personality. And so if your personality just as a human being is to be a little more conservative, you know, not, you know, big C conservative, but just like a little more like cautious, a little more, just like, you know, shoring up your weaknesses, you know, like a sort of just like a fundamentally like sound approach and not super risky. You should probably just be the best at that, you know, and just try to really be smart about that and try to get on players early when their form is there. I think you can still be a conservative manager and be aggressive within the kind of lane that you've picked, you know? And then the other way is just to be really wild and just really commit to it, you know? And just sort of, I don't know. But so I guess I'm agreeing with you. I'm just sort of reframing it in the way that makes sense to me. So,
yeah, right.
So I hear what you're saying though.
All right, so next question in our 10 points for the FPL relaunch comes from FPL Jack, who asks, it seems like the inclusion of specific price point slots is becoming more important as it allows for flexibility between assets and good team structure. This is something you and I, Josh, talked with Joe Lepper quite a bit about. FPL Jack goes on to say, personally, I plan on having a 9.0 to 10.5 forward slot at all times. What about you guys? Okay, so Josh, talk to me about your price structure planning.
Yeah. Well, in the midfield, I do think that there's something to be said for having, I mean, one of the advantages of having a KDB, Salah, and Mane midfield is it makes it really easy to move around. You know, if I want to bring in Sterling, if I want to bring in Aubameyang, if I want to bring in Bruno, I can do it without doing anything more than burning one transfer. And as long as I've got those slots there, I can do it and I can still keep a Salah or whatever, right? Like I don't have to like sort of burn my team down. So, you know, but I think in general, I don't think in terms of slot, I'm much more focused on value, you know? And so like, if I think that, you know, Mitro is great value at 6 million as a forward, then that's what I want, you know, and I'm not thinking too much about having a premium forward, you know. I don't get too caught up in sort of having slots in my team. You know, if Mitro's performing, you know, comparably to some of the, you know, if he's, let's say like Danny Ings, right? If he's performing comparably to Danny Ings, then that's the, you know, that's the player I'm going to go for, because that 2.5 million is such a huge value savings. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that you don't want to be too strict with these price slots. There is, and I think I do adhere to the pricing structure. Like I don't want to be, even despite what I was saying about the 3-5-2 or the whatever formation where you're going all in the midfield, you don't want to be in a position ultimately where you've got nothing to spend in your back line or nothing to spend in your front line. So there's a theory there, but I do think you can be too rigorous, because I agree with you, Josh, in that you're always just a -4 away from reshaping that price structure. So if you think, well, I have this, like as Jack suggests in his forward slot, he always has a 9 to 10.5 slot. Well, that could be useless to you at moments of the season where maybe Werner is injured and as we saw, Jimenez came in at 8.5. So you don't want to needlessly commit extra funds up front when you don't have to, knowing that if needs must, just spend four meager points, Josh, points to take a hit to rejigger that. And it's as easy as that. So it's good theoretically, but it is not a very strict religion that I think you need to follow.
No, I don't think so either. And I mean, and I think there are even times then where I'll just blow up that rule entirely, right? Like if I just, you know, if I'm just looking for like, I mean, I would probably do this early in a season, but like, you know, near the end of the season, I brought in Harry Kane when he was not a very popular pick at all. I just felt like I liked the fixtures and I thought he was showing improved form and he scored 5 goals over the final 3 matches, you know? And so there are times when you just don't want to be too committed to any kind of, you know, slot, because sometimes you're just going to blow it up because the situation calls for it. All right. I think we can do these next couple kind of quickly, Brandon, but Matt says, is Big at the back?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that, well, big at the back was the drum that everyone was beating heading into the 2019 season. And it just
like 5 years into this,
it just didn't work. And it's not that big at the back didn't work. It was just that big at the back is not your strategy. It's like what we're talking about with the fluidity of positions. There are defensive assets that are good picks at certain points in the season with certain fixture runs or team form. You look at Matt Doherty, who was only a decent pick at the end of last season, and he was worth that 6.5 price tag. Is big at the back? Did it ever go anywhere? Is it coming back? Is it a fool's gold? It's kind of none of the above. It's just kind of like, yeah, a false narrative. Can we call it that?
Well, I mean, just last season, it kind of blew up. I mean, it was just a disaster, you know? And I think, you know, the problem is that what typically happens is you find a bunch of cheaper players like Sheffield United last season who offer you, you know, huge, like similar, if not superior returns for 2 million cheaper. And it just becomes silly to do that. Whereas there's really no other place in your midfield or forward line where you can replicate those returns. You know, it's like, you know, it's very rare that like a Riyad Mahrez at Leicester a few seasons ago suddenly just becomes like a must-own player at 5.5 million. You very rarely get that in those slots. Whereas
Was it a fluke? Because at the start of the 2019 season, we all pinpointed John Lundstrom as a 4.0 out of position defender. Get him in. Sheffield United start getting clean sheets, and Lundstrom does the business. And Liverpool cannot keep a clean sheet to save their life. However, come the end of the season, Liverpool have kept 14 clean sheets. Like there was a point at which if Liverpool did what they did at the midpoint of the season, at the start of the season, maybe big at the back was back. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, maybe there's something I said for like the second half of the season or something. I'd have to like look at it more. I mean, maybe, you know, I think I think that we do have some evidence that promoted clubs tend to really perform well at the start of a season. Right. There's a kind of surge of energy.
We all remember Huddersfield Town and their first 3 game weeks of whatever season that was. Where are they now?
Yeah. Were they like top of the table or something? Yeah. They stayed up that first year, though.
They did.
And Stevens. But yeah, I mean, that Sheffield United defense was incredible at the start of the season and really about halfway through it. By the end, it didn't really, you know, the wheels had come off a little bit, but they were, you know, they were remarkable for you know, a good long time. So anyway, actually it's interesting because the next question is from Shiv. He says, who are your top value picks? So, you know, I have a few I have them in my team right now. So I'll just list off a couple, Brandon. You can tell me who else you've got as well. We talked about Mitchell already. I think there's a lot of defender value picks. I think that, Ruben, is it Vinagre? Is that how you say his name?
Vinagre, I think. Yeah. Vinagre. I mean, not that I know, but that's what I think.
Yeah. Unless they buy somebody, the very logical Johnny replacement, looks like Johnny's going to be out until January. It is a chance to have a Wolves fullback, you know, they're very attacking fullbacks, a Wolves fullback for $4.5 million, and Wolves defense is excellent because of their loss to Sevilla. They'll be ready to start in game week one. Great value. And then in Arsenal, you have Saliba, who was purchased, I guess he actually was bought for the team a season ago, and he went out on loan. I think he went on loan in the French league. I can't remember anymore what team he was on loan to, but he is you know, it's like a 30 million center back who everyone is really excited about. There's actually the early hope, I guess, is that he could actually be Arsenal's Van Dijk. Like, that's how excited they are about William Saliba. So available for $4.5 million. Arsenal's defense played, you know, quite well at the end of the season. So he stands out. I think Charlie Taylor at $4.5 million. You know, I think that he's might be a cheap way into the Burnley defense.
Oh, you're a real fabulist here, Josh.
Yeah, I know. I'm like building a narrative about all these cheap players, but again, it really feels like it's in the defense that I'm most excited in. Alex McCarthy, I thought at $4.5 million was pretty good value too, because it seems like Sheffield United, Southampton kind of figured something out at the end of the season, and they were performing pretty well defensively.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. I'm my focus on the value was more up front, and I think Chelsea was an odd one where I expected a little more action in their prices. I didn't see a lot of change. I mean, Pulisic, we kind of knew was going to come in at 8.5, but Ziyech at 8.8. We made it happen. Ziyech at 8.0, that is definitely, I mean, and it's always a toss of the coin of these players. Like, do they hit the ground running Mo Salah style? Or sure. Or are they just not fit for the league? But at 8.0 on playing just behind Timo Werner, I think that Ziyech is really exciting. Timo Werner, we expected would be priced higher than 9.5. There's value there. And players that you've actually seen play, I was stunned to see that Kane got demoted to 10.5. Son didn't really get a bump. He's just at 9.0.
Same price. Yep.
So the Spurs players, I mean, I kind of have zero hope that Jose Mourinho knows what he's doing with this team at the moment. But if there's a miracle and it comes together, if Kane is able to, you know, ride again the way we've seen him before, 10.5 is a fabulous price for him.
Yeah, that's fair. That, you know, it really is. I mean, given his, you know, I mean, this last season he missed a ton of games through injury, and he still finished with 18 goals in the season. You know, quite reasonable in the end. I mean, he was not a fun player to own in fantasy for most of the year, but I mean, he's only what, 28? I mean, it's not like he's, you know, 37 and washed up. I mean, you know,
it does take me back to FPL Jack's question about that 9.0 to 10.5 price bracket. And if you think about rotating between Werner and Kane, it's something that could make sense.
That's true. I mean, it's not like it's, I mean, I understand the rationale because, I mean, you know, I talked about it in the midfield, but it is true in the forward line a little bit too. I mean, if you find yourself in a position where you've got, you know, a bunch of 6.5 million forwards, it does really make it difficult if somebody really emerges and, you know.
Yeah, right.
And it's certainly like, I mean, you know, we haven't talked about Sergio Aguero at all, right? And if he comes back healthy, I mean, he's, you know, he can be the player that entire fantasy season pivots on, you know, his performance in some matches. Yeah. And so, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously he's, you know, coming back from a knee injury. So, you know, who knows where he'll be by the start of the season. I think he should be ready by game week one, but it, you know, is he an every week player at the start? You know, who knows? All right. A couple more questions, Brandon, two more questions. Dork Lord says, what lessons will you bring specifically into the early part of the season based on your experiences last year?
Yeah, this one for me is kind of personal. I think that I really do want to trust my impulse last season was to go into my game week one squad with the utmost faith and then trust them and be patient with them. And my plan for this season is just really scrutinize what happens in game week one, really eye test game week one. This is, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how obvious this is to every FPL manager out there, but to be a little more proactive after game week one, I think would be the point. Take what you learn from game week one and don't be afraid to really just chop some players from that game week one squad and quickly move. And if you look at like transformative seasons where you should have known Mahrez just absolutely doing the business in game week one, that Leicester league winning season, identify those emerging players as that do really pop in game week one and bring them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Bring them in fast. Right. That's the whole thing is you don't bring them in once they've had seven good game weeks and everybody owns them. Right. It's like bring them in quickly.
Yeah. Like Buffetimi Gomez, instead of bringing him in when he had that roaring start for Swansea, all we did was just talk about like, well, how long can this go on for? And while we talked about how long it would go on for, it went on for five or six game weeks. And by the time it was done, it was truly done. And that's you didn't get to capitalize on any of those points.
That's really right. I think for me, the biggest thing is I'm trying to not let self-consciousness creep into my game. And for me, that actually spins both ways. I think for some people, and for me sometimes too, you know, if I make a like a possibly bold move, you know, which a move that could really backfire. I know that I would have to like talk about it on the podcast or, you know, post about it or whatever. And it sort of like deters me a little bit sometimes. And I don't want to have that kind of self-consciousness, but for me, it actually often spins the other way, which is that I hate to be boring and I hate to have a team that I feel like is super similar to everyone else's. And that desire to be a little bit different has hurt me a lot last season and got me in a position where I had a lot of really funky teams where I just wasn't enjoying the game as much because I didn't have all these good players who were doing well. And it was like, cause I was trying to be different. And it just meant that like you had like all of, you know, just pick up Twitter, like all of Twitter, like celebrating these players doing well. And I'm like stubbornly holding on to whatever, an injured Mo Salah or something like that, you know? Yeah. And it was just, I don't want that self. I just want to play my own game, whether I'm being conservative or, you know, or taking some risks next season. So I think that is, and I just think it's more fun. I mean, I just think that, you know, if you're just going to do, I don't know, like, I mean, you should play your own game. It's more fun that way. You know, it's like, it's why else play? You know, it's not like most people are in like leagues where you're going to win $60,000 or whatever. It's like, you know, you're just play, you know, and just, you know, and play your style and hopefully it's good enough. All right. Last question from FPL Jammo. We've talked about this a fair amount already, but it says, which of the new players are most likely to make it in your game week one team? So we talked about Fulham already, West Brom and Leeds. Does anyone, you know, stand out to you immediately?
Not really. I mean, I'm thinking more of those newish players that are more expensive and signed to top of the table clubs like the Timo Werners, because those are the likelihood of Werner being more highly owned and he's more expensive, mm-hmm. therefore a little trickier to fit into your squad. You benefit more from having him in game week one versus the cheaper players from the promoted squads where, you know, we could prognosticate about West Brom, Leeds and Fulham. But yeah. I honestly won't believe it until I see it with any of those three clubs. And once we see it, those players, you know, they're going to top out around 6.0, 6.5 at the harshest. Right. They will be very easy to bring in for game week two. So I wouldn't lose any sleep about really analyzing the promoted teams until we see what they do in game week one. So for me, game week one is more about getting the mix right as best I can with the more expensive players.
Right. Yeah. I think that makes sense. I think, you know, yeah, I've got Mitro in my first mock-up. The West Brom thing, like they are so unpopular and untalked about that I actually wonder if there might be some value there, you know, like just a little bit like, are there players that are just going to fly completely under the radar? I mean, you know, Ahmed Hagazi for, you know, example, you know, pretty decent player two seasons ago, you know, could he be somebody that is, you know, valuable at 4.5 million. So I think that that, I mean, let's keep an eye on them. And you know, I think Leeds, I think there are some really interesting players. When we talked about Pablo Hernandez and
Jack Harrison,
you know, our boy Jack Harrison, I was about to say. So I think, you know, Jack Harrison could be, you know, I mean, I don't know. Like, is that just a totally sentimental pick? I don't know. But I do like him. Patrick Bamford, I mean, I'm just sort of curious about. Like, I'm just curious if he, you know, how he'll do. I mean, it's sort of, I don't think there's
any. You're Bamford curious. I like it.
Yeah, there's not. I don't think there's a lot of excitement out there about him. But his price point is right at $5.5 million. So.
Yeah, he doesn't have an illustrious history in the Premier League. Like, he couldn't get into that Palace squad. But West Ham.
He's still young. I mean, yeah, who knows? Strikers can take a while sometimes.
Yeah. West Brom, though, is like a, that's actually a weirdly popular team amongst always cheating Patreon supporters. So yes, we know where to go to get the straight poop on West Brom.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, you know, and he was a Chelsea player, Bamford, originally. So, I mean, it's a little bit like Josh Onuma. Is that how you say his name?
Onuma,
right. So, but he was a Spurs player initially, right?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot there. I mean, it's not like he made his bones at Spurs or anything. He's just kind of, he is a Fulham player, Joshua.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm just saying that someone like Bamford is, you know, I was thinking a little bit like on a, you know, I mean, he had scored an incredible goal, right, in the playoff semifinals, and you know, he was in Spurs for several seasons, and you know, you just wonder if maybe you know, these really talented players, like, sometimes it does take them a second or third club to finally shine, you know, that they just haven't quite. You know, sometimes like just being at a big club just doesn't work for certain people. So anyway, this is a long way of saying that I'm open to players like Bamford, you know, because sometimes if the talent's there, at least that's something, you know.
That's why we love you, Josh.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's take a break. And we're going to we actually have some hot takes, Brian. We have some hot takes from our patrons that we're going to roll out here, and then we're going to roll our way out of the podcast.
All right, guys, from tight muscles, tough workouts, signs of aging, to simply making it through each busy day, everyone understands what it feels like to be tense and sore. So everyone can benefit from TheraOne's CBD products. Started by Dr. Jason Wersland, TheraBody exists to provide you with the best scientifically validated natural solutions to help soothe your body and relax your mind. It started with the revolutionary Theragun Percussive Therapy device that Dr. Jason saw the benefits of using CBD in his treatments. He created TheraOne to bring you CBD products done right. Use TheraOne's warming lotion in your morning routine, the cooling lotion or massage oil to recover, body balm for the targeted relief, and sleep tincture to drift into a deep night's sleep. Josh, I'm already there.
Yeah, I would love that. One day, Brandon, I'll have a deep night's sleep again.
And now through Labor Day, Monday, September 7th, TheraOne is offering our listeners a buy one, get one free for all TheraOne products. But you've got to go here, theragun.com. That's theragun.com/bluewire. If you don't love what you get from TheraOne, send it back for a full refund within 30 days of purchase. This is not something TheraOne is likely to do again. Buy one, get one free at theragun.com/bluewire, but only until Labor Day. Go right now to theragun.com/bluewire.
And Brandon, Sundays are coming back in the NFL. And possibly Saturdays. We'll see. See what happens with college football. With NFLSundayTicket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. Sunday Ticket is the best, Brandon. Plus Red Zone TV and DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels. You can never miss your favorite team and favorite players again. I'm a long-suffering Lions fan, Brandon, and I somehow still watch them every week. I don't know what is wrong with me.
You're a good fan, Josh.
Yeah, is it? Maybe I'm a bad fan. Maybe I should, you know.
You should do more. Why can't you play quarterback in the NFL, Josh? You could really help the team.
No matter where you live, NFLSundayTicket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sunday ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout to get 15% off your subscription. That's BLUEWIRE, no space. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and use promo code BLUEWIRE. All right, Brandon, before we leave, we wanted to just, you know, give you a few hot takes on the launch of the game and what's going to happen this year. So, Brandon, here come four screaming hot takes. These are all from our Patreon supporters. And by the way, if you want to be on this podcast, Brandon, if you want to appear on the OSG podcast, becoming a Patreon supporter is probably the best way to do it. That's a bonus plug right there, Brandon. That was an unplanned bonus plug for our Patreon. So here's the first one. And we're just going to flash through these. The first one is from FPL Ann. He says, "We are light years away from the time last year when it was all about big at the back."
Yeah,
it does seem that way.
We just kind of talked about that. And there's always a tagline to start the season. And it's not that it doesn't come true, right? Because we kind of talked about there have been plenty of expensive defenders that came good toward the end of the season, whether you're talking about Trent or Doherty. I mean, some people would say 5.0 is too much to pay for Tarkowski, Josh. So if that counts for big at the back, then I'm there. Right. I'm big, baby.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of perspective, I think.
It does seem like the theme this year is why can't I have 11 midfielders? That feels like that's the emerging. So I don't know if that counts as light years away from big at the back. I mean, I'm certainly much like I just looked. It's 53% of managers have Trent Alexander-Arnold already. So yeah. He might be like 70% owned by the time the season kicks off.
Well, I'm okay. So let's, before we move on, because this is a brisk hot take section and I fully respect that. But in the effort of making this a lightning round, I'd like to spend another 5 minutes on this. Trent at 7.5. Wait, is he 7.5 or is he 8?
He's 7.5. Yep.
I mean, that is kind of, everyone predicted, like, humbly, I request that Trent come in at 8.0 for this season, because there's no way I'm not buying this guy at anything that's beyond like 9.0. And if you compare his points, his FPL points outlay to any other player in the game at 7.5, I mean, Mason Greenwood in the midfield, are you going to take Greenwood over Trent? No. So totally. It's like, it's just another thing of like, it doesn't matter, big at the back, big in the midfield, it doesn't matter. This guy presents tremendous FPL points value no matter where on the pitch he is at 7.5. So yeah, is there any way you don't have Trent in game week one?
Honestly, no, I don't think so. And his ownership is so high now that it wouldn't even be fun to watch those little matches if he didn't have them. You know, I think the question for me and what I wish they had done, although I'm glad we've not spent this podcast talking too much about what we wish would have happened, but because that's just a depressing conversational thread. But I wish that he had come in at 8 million and that Robbo would come in at 7. And then you'd have a real challenge. You know, like that would be a debate, I think, at 1 million. But at 0.5, I mean, it just feels like, you know, he's just so good. And, you know, the only question to me is whether I have two Liverpool defenders, which, I mean, talk about value. It may just be better to have, I mean, you have Robbo and Van Dijk and, or I mean, you know, Trent and Van Dijk. I mean, Van Dijk's going to play every game, going to get you 4 goals, you know, ton of clean sheets, 6.5 million. It's not that much, you know, so, I mean, right now I've got Salah and Mane in the midfield, but, what was the original question? Oh, yeah, big at the back. Yes, I'm going to go.
I'd rather just talk about your hypothetical team for a while longer. That sounds good.
You started this. You set me down this road. All right. Luke says, we're all going to start the season. This is another hot take. We're all going to start the season with stacked midfielders. But then Ings, Martial, Werner, Aguero, and Kane will start smashing them in. And everyone will be falling over themselves to move value up front.
Yeah, as Luke is talking, I'm listening, and I think that could very much. And again, it's sort of like all about the preseason narrative, where I'm kind of all in on this at least 5 starting midfielders, but I'm fully prepared. And these names that are being listed by Luke, Martial, proven, Werner, I mean, he's proven everywhere but England, basically. Aguero, proven. Mm-hmm. Kane, proven. It could all totally happen. I mean, if it's not Aguero, it could be Jesus, because City are going to be scoring goals. So, yeah, be ready for it. Be ready.
I'm ready. Yeah. And we really didn't talk about Ings that much on this podcast. I think he's interesting. I don't think he's essential necessarily.
He's
Southampton just
He is the player that I think has been the victim of pricing here. And notably, I would have expected Jimenez to be higher than 8.5. The fact that Jimenez comes in at 8.5 is more or less a headshot to Danny Ings, because I think the likelihood of Jimenez replicating, which he's proven two seasons running, that he's very consistent. Mm-hmm. Danny Ings had a fantastic season last season, but it's not two seasons running like Jimenez. I mean, you know what I'm saying here. It's Ings could easily prove to be a fluke there. So you don't know what's going to happen. It's just such better value, 8.5 for Jimenez. I just don't see where Ings at 8.0 fits into anyone's team.
It's just tricky, because I just think a really good rule of thumb is when a player like Southampton are okay, right? But they're like a bottom half team. They're not that good. And you know, anytime a player from a bottom half team is going to cost you almost $9 million. You really have to stop and think about whether that's a smart strategy to spend that much money on a bottom half table player, no matter how good he was last season, because they're just he's just not going to create as many chances, you know, and or have as many chances like put forward, you know, like just in the way I was thinking with this earlier, because people were talking about this with Werner and this idea that he, you know, is going to miss a lot of chances, and I'm just like, this is what. Like players on good teams and attacking teams miss a lot of, this is like a narrative that happens with Aguero all the time too. And, you know, it's like when you're in a good team, you're just going to get a, you know, Raheem Sterling is like this too. I mean, yeah, he missed a giant chance today, but like, you know, by the way, that game was Kyle, the Kyle Walker game, not the Raheem Sterling game, Brandon. I don't want to litigate that match, but Kyle Walker was completely off for two of those three goals. and everything comes down to this miss by Sterling, as if, you know.
Well, it's like Laporte making those awful mistakes against Spurs in last year's Champions League. City's defense has been their Achilles heel for forever. Totally. Forever.
Yeah. It really has been. But I just think that, you know, forwards on good teams miss lots of chances. And so they get this argument that they're wasteful. But, you know, if you put a Danny Ings on one of these teams, he would have tons more chances and he would miss more of them. And suddenly he would get this wasteful tag as well. I'm sure.
Here's a hot take for you, Josh. Hasenhüttl is where did this narrative come from that Hasenhüttl is like walking in Pochettino's footsteps? It's not happening. And I'm with you, like, Southampton flattered themselves the latter half of that season, and good on them for doing so. They certainly played some decent football on their way to it, but who are they going to say? I mean, they sell their best midfield ball winner in Pierre-Emerick in Hoiberg. I mean, I don't even know what story I'm trying to tell by saying that, which is a testament to how odd Southampton are. But Armstrong, Redmond, and Ings, this is not something that you're building a dynasty on. So if you think that Hasenhüttl is going to carry them to a Sheffield United-esque tidal wave, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like Danny Ings, and I know we just spent the last 5 minutes bashing him and his team, but I'm
satisfied.
Let's move on. All right. Two more hot takes. One is from Miggs. He says, Chelsea played two at the back with Jorginho as cover, but they get a new keeper. So they still have the same goals against they did last season. They signed three more attackers to smash the most goals scored in a season.
Wow.
It's ended on a fun note, Brandon.
Wow, this is like a real blitzkrieg sort of a strategy here by Chelsea. Just like pop a bunch of ketamine and just run at the goal really fast.
Chelsea could like get their own pod. Like there's so much meaty content that we can do. We have to save it for another discussion. But yeah, I mean, Ziyech, Werner, if they get Kai Havertz, that is, they'll be incredible. I mean, like, I don't know if that means they win the league or if they just score a lot of goals or what, but they'll be really, really fun. Really
Kurt Zuma.
KZ. KZ. It's And Brandon, you were talking about Man City, but I mean, you know, I mean, it's Nathan Ake's team now, Brandon. So I wouldn't be worried about them any longer. I think that he...
I'm sure they've fixed whatever problems they had.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, he's Virgil van Ake. And you know, it's all kind of... Yeah.
If it weren't for Nathan Ake, Bournemouth would have gone down, what, two or three, four weeks before they went down.
Yeah. good player, though. Good price, actually, 5.5 too. I mean, that's I mean, like, he's probably going to start a lot, right? I mean, like... he's competent, you know. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. Otamendi and
he's done.
Yeah. He's done. John Stone's done.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it could be talked into Nathan Ake, despite what me being smart a minute ago.
Yeah, Garcia's young still, you know. I think that Ake would win the spot over him. So anyway, we'll save that for upcoming pod. Last one comes from Sam Danby. He says, Leeds are top at Christmas. The players travel around Europe and bring coronavirus back to the Premier League. All cities are closed until May and Leeds win the league with an asterisk.
Wow. I can't tell if Sam is a Leeds fan or a Leeds hater. Because these tactics are despicable, to be honest. I think Sam is actually a Newcastle supporter. But yeah, I mean... What do you think? Biological warfare? Is that coming to European football anytime soon?
I don't know. There's a lot of money in professional football, Brandon. It would not be stunning. Yeah. So we'll see. Let's hope that not. I know that they've already sort of like, I think they like are working on legally working out so that like if the season does get canceled, you know, that as long as you'd played 21 matches or something like that, then that would be enough to count as a season. So you wouldn't have what happened last summer.
League on style.
We'll see. Hopefully there's a vaccine by then. All right. So that is, this is your kickoff podcast. We have several podcasts to go before the season starts. I think, well, it's a lot. Let's just say that much. You and I were working this out before the podcast started.
Yeah.
So lots of always cheating coming your way. We did want to get one out as soon as possible because we figured people are excited to start talking about this as were we. So just one last time, the podcast, we love doing it, but it really, the support of our patrons is really what allows us to keep doing it and keep putting so much energy into it. So if you'd like to support the podcast, I've got a patreon.com/alwayscheating. You get access to our new Slack bonus podcast. We do tons of bonus podcasts all season long. During the season, it's two podcasts a week. We do one, the main feed pod, then one bonus one for our patrons. So Slack and then the new knockout league that we're creating. There's lots of other, actually, we have a weekly roundup that we'll be sending out to people too, a new feature this year. Yeah, so
Mini League Mate, our friends at Mini League Mate.
Excited about that too. So patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Brandon, do you want to quickly thank our producer patrons?
Yeah, before I do too, also the Always Cheating Super League is back. So if you're just kind of like, hey, I like listening to Always Cheating, but I don't need to get involved in all that Patreon stuff, just join all of our listeners. We have more than 10,000 managers in the Super League. Go to alwayscheating.com to get the join code there, and it's no fuss, no muss. But yeah, special thanks to our producer patrons. That's Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Bobas Kuhn, Peter Bodichtel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, FPLmerch.com, James Conroy, Brandon B, Paul Scanlon, Kieran Screeton, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kiagransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg, Skoging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, James Hurd, Francis Mann, and Chris Carter. Big ups to Francis and Chris for joining us here at the producer level. And subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast. Never miss an episode. And if you're so kind, give us a rating and review. Follow us on social media, wherever it is that you find social media. Email us at hailcheaters@gmail.com. And of course, that website is alwayscheating.com.
See you in a few days. Bye.
All right, gang, before we get out of here, a quick shout out for Bet Online. Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. Major League Baseball is back in action, and there's no better place to start wagering than our exclusive partners, Bet Online. Check out all the odds, futures, and props to bet on, all available 24/7. And with the return of sports, Bet Online sat down with former pro players Eddie George, Harold Reynolds, and seven-time NBA champ Robert Horry. Hear what they had to say on what it'll be like playing without fans in a series they're calling Fandemic. Visit betonline.ag for all your odds and up-to-date sports news. Remember, use the promo code BLUEWIRE, that's all one word, BLUEWIRE, to receive your new welcome bonus. Promo code BLUEWIRE, BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.